Good morning. It's wonderful to see you today. Hope everybody's having a great day. Hope it's a day that you are excited about being here because it is our Lord's Day. If you're visiting with us, please know you are special to us, and we appreciate you all being here as well. Do want to remind everyone that next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Next Sunday, there will be more people go to church, go to worship, than any other day of the year. I believe we need to use that to our advantage. I believe if we know of someone that hasn't been in the habit of going to worship, let's let them know that we'll be worshiping here next Sunday. Let's bring them. Let's encourage them. Let them know we love them, man. And I promise you, I'll do my part, and others will do their part in leading in worship, and we'll certainly do our part all together in praising our God. I'm glad you're here today. Today's a day that I want to talk to you about, yes, telling the story of Jesus. Last week we talked about the importance of telling others about Jesus, about the great message that we have, but today I want to give you a message that I believe is easy to preach. I believe it's easy to understand. And I believe it's very important to tell others about Jesus because Jesus can heal broken hearts. Have you ever had your heart broken? Chances are everybody in here could say yes. Now, some of those levels of heartbreak may be different than others. But I know that you can probably remember the first time, especially probably maybe your teenage years or maybe even early adulthood, your heart was truly broken. It's a miserable feeling. It's a feeling that, you know, if you do not know how to react to it, it's a funny emotion that comes out. You know, I know that some may just be weepy. You may, when your heart's broken, you may cry. You may, you know, you're brokenhearted, so you sometimes say, "Well, this is what God has allowed me to do. This is how I show my emotion. These tears come out, and it's from the heartbreak." But then others may just get mad. You know, sometimes you get your heart broken and you react in a mad way, in an angry way. You see, the gambit of emotions is a contrary thing. Sometimes we have pain when it comes to broken hearts. Emotionally, we sometimes weep. Sometimes we're in anger. Sometimes we react by doing other things. But the reality is this. We have had our hearts broken. We have had our lives perhaps even broken. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is the healer of broken hearts. I'm glad Psalm 147 is in the Bible. If you heard what Dallas came and read to us, Dallas always does a great job. Appreciate Dallas. In verses 1 through 3 there, we're going to get to it again in a moment. But first of all, the psalmist said, "Praise the Lord," didn't he? That's what we're here to do. He said, "It's good to praise Him. It's good to praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing." But then he gets on and he says that He is the healer of the brokenhearted. And I am so glad that's in the Bible. Because there are times in this world we're going to have our hearts broken. We're going to have our lives shattered. We're going to have our worlds flipped upside down. We're going to be on that roller coaster of life and we're going to have a slow climb sometimes, and then the bottom's going to drop out. And we're going to be twisted and turned, and that's the rug's going to be pulled out from under. All those cliches, we could say that's what happens. But you know, there are people in the Bible that have had their lives broken. They've had their hearts broken. They've had their worlds turned upside down. And it started even in the beginning. In Genesis 3, verse 9, God asked Adam, "Where are you? Where are you?" Now, if you're going to play hide and seek with somebody, I would suggest not play it with God. Because God knows where we are. God knew where Adam was. Yes, but what he wanted to know is, Adam, where are you? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where's your attitude right now? Where's your life? You see, what had happened in Adam's life happens in ours as well. Adam and Eve had been given everything. They were in paradise. It was beauty around them. They were joined to one another. It was the perfect scenario. But the devil slithered his way right into their lives. And he was able to throw the bait in the water, and they were able to latch on, and he had them. They were hooked. And from that point forward, they couldn't eat from the tree of life. They were kicked out of the garden. But before all that occurred, before the punishments were handed down, God asked Adam, because they had gone and sewn fig leaves together and covered themselves, they had hid because they heard God coming. And they said, and God said, "Where are you?" Now let's bring that to 2017. Our lives are just great. We've got a great wife. We've got a great husband. We've got great children. We've got a great church family. We've got a great job. And then all of a sudden the wheels come off. Maybe it's because of a mistake I make. Maybe it's because of a mistake my wife makes, or their children, or whatever. Maybe it's something happens. Some kind of devastation comes in our lives, and now all of a sudden we find ourselves, instead of drawing closer to God, hiding from God. Well, guess what? The question is still there today. Where are you? Where am I? You see, when God asked that question in Genesis 3, verse 9, you know what was broken? Paradise was broken. God had given them paradise. He'd given them everything they needed. All they had to do was stay away from the one thing that was going to break their lives, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they couldn't do it. Paradise was broken. The bond between God and the bond between man was broken. When God asked the question, "Where are you?" hope was broken. Perfection was broken. Adam and Eve's lives were broken. At that point, though, a plan came into motion. What was broken in Adam would be healed in Jesus Christ. And folks, I don't know if we can fully comprehend and appreciate that this morning, but we're going to do our best to try. Because when God asked the question to Adam, "Where are you?" all those things I just mentioned were broken. God didn't just come up with this plan right then on the spot. His plan was there before the creation of man. But when Adam and Eve sinned, God's plan, His scheme of redemption, went into motion. And from that point forward, all God could do was make a way so that the one who could heal the brokenhearted could come. Fast forward to today. Where are you? Where am I? Maybe today, instead of having a broken heart, we've got a broken vision. Maybe our hearts are broken because we have a broken vision. Well, let me remind you of this. Christ made those who were blind able to see. If your vision in life, you can't see where your life is going, where your life is headed, remember, He is the one that heals the blind. Maybe today you're without feeling. Maybe you just feel numb all over. Maybe today you've just become numb to it all. Well, guess what? It was Jesus Christ who made those who couldn't feel in their legs walk again. Today, if you're numb, He can take away the numbness. He can make you, He can make me be able to feel again. Maybe today you feel like your life is just sinking. You've been treading water and now you feel like you're drowning. Well, guess what? He saved those who were drowning, and He was walking on top of that water, which was their biggest fear, a.k.a. Peter. Are you living a life today without hope? Maybe that's where you are. Your life is filled without hope. Well, guess what? It was Christ who raised the dead. It was Christ, God, who raised Himself. Or maybe today you're brokenhearted. Your broken life, your broken heart, your broken hope, your broken vision, your broken lives, it is Jesus Christ who can heal it all. And today, as we journey into this lesson, it is my prayer that if you truly are broken, that you will allow Him to heal you, that you will allow Him to make your heart, your soul, your mind, your all, He'll allow Him to make it whole again. Because when we are broken, we are most miserable. Now the question may be this: what causes a broken heart? You see, our hearts can be broken, our lives can be broken in so many different ways. Sometimes our lives are broken because of overwhelming circumstance. Getting the news at a doctor we don't want to hear. Hearing the word cancer. It's just a terrible word. Coming to hear words like ALS, some kind of major disease. Those words are not words we want to hear a loved one or ourselves go through. Maybe that's got you broken today. Or when a loved one takes their final breath, even though we know reality says we're all going to die or face judgment. Okay? We know it's coming, but when they take that final breath, we're never prepared. We're never ready. And maybe that's got us broken today. Maybe there's some kind of conflict or war going on inside your family, inside your lives, that has caused this. Broken hearts can also be caused because of deep sorrow. In 2 Samuel 18, verse 33, listen to how sad this is. The king was deeply moved, the king is David, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said thus, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son, my son." Now let me remind you about Absalom. David's family faced a lot of heartache. It started when he sinned with Bathsheba, which he penned the words to what Justin read. We'll reference again in a minute in Psalm 51 after that. But she was pregnant. She was with child. Well, that child died. And you remember David said, and it's a very powerful statement today, he said, "He can't come to me, but I can go to him." It reminds us of sorrow. But then Absalom. Excuse me. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of pain. There was a lot of agony. And these family brothers, they fought amongst one another. Well, Absalom had this long hair. And Absalom and David have a falling out. But he gets ultimately caught up in a tree, the hare does, and he gets killed. And so David gets the news and he cries out, "Oh, my son, my son, my son." Maybe that's you and I today. Maybe it's sorrow of a lost loved one or some type of deep emotional pain. Even Jesus understood what it was like to have sorrow. In John 11, verse 35, we have the word simply, "Jesus wept." Maybe today we're broken by failure. We've got failed relationships, perhaps. Maybe we failed in business. Maybe we failed in love. Or maybe today we're broken by sin. Remember, I mentioned David earlier. After Nathan pointed out to him that, "David, you are that man," you remember what he did? He penned Psalm 51 where he begged God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. That's what he pleaded with God to do. God, create a clean heart in me. Maybe it's sin that's caused us to be broken from God. Maybe it's like the prodigal son in Luke 15. By the way, do you ever think about that son and the way his father felt? I understand we talk about the father. We talk about him, how he was longing, he was waiting. But what was he doing in the meantime? He was broken. His heart was broken. Yes, he allowed his son to make those choices. He gave him his inheritance. He allowed him to go and waste it. But while he was gone, it's not like they stayed in contact with one another. They didn't FaceTime. They didn't text. They didn't have all the things we have today. So he lost that contact and he was gone and he was struggling. But the Father never gave up hope. Maybe your sin has taken you on a long journey. Maybe my sin's taken me far away. Maybe I've wasted the blessings God's given me. But the Father is still longing to heal that relationship. It really is. I want to remind us today that it's Jesus' mission to heal that which is broken. In John 14, verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He doesn't long for any of us to be broken today. In fact, Jesus Christ, we refer to him as the great physician. Let me remind us, he still is. He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, the Hebrew writer said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And because he hasn't changed, guess what? That means that Jesus Christ still is the one who gave blind Bartimaeus his sight. The great physician Jesus dried up the woman's disease in Mark 5. Jesus, the great physician, calmed the storms in his disciples' lives. Jesus, the great physician, cast the demons out of Legion. Jesus, the great physician and the great caregiver and the healer of the brokenhearted, saved his mother embarrassment in Cana of Galilee. Jesus, the great physician, gave the adulterous woman hope. Jesus, the great physician, helped Zacchaeus feel very special. Jesus, the great physician, filled the nets of some struggling fishermen. Jesus, the great physician, picked up the pieces of a broken relationship with the Father and built a hope by dying on the cross. You see, that's what sin has done. When Adam, in Genesis 3, verse 9, was hiding from God, and God asked him, "Where are you?" there was a huge gap in between. I would liken it to something we can think about today. If we were at the Grand Canyon, and we were on one side of the canyon, and we needed to get to the other side of the canyon, but there was no helicopter, there was no airplane, there was no bridge, there was no anything, it would be impossible to get over there. Well, that's where we were. Because of Adam, we were on this side of paradise, and God was way over here. It was Jesus Christ who came and laid the cross down so that we could walk and be able to be there with God. You see, that's what Christ did. You want to talk about how He healed our lives? He healed our broken lives. He bridged the gap between us and God. That's why He said in John 14, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me." Christ rebuilt what we lost in Adam. But the question is still being asked today, where are you? I respect doctors, I really do. I appreciate what they do. I appreciate what nurses do. It's amazing to know our medical field and the blessings we have. I appreciate all the good that comes. And I'm sure there are a lot of great doctors, there are a lot of great nurses and all that, But there's one that really means something to me today, and that is the doctor that brought both my children into this world. You see, I appreciate him. And I remember after Bo was born, you know, being able to, as he was tending to my wife, I remember saying to him, "Thank you very much," Dr. Kleinpeter is his name. "Thank you very much." He said, "It was my pleasure." To him, it's probably his job, but to me, he brought to life, he brought into life my two hearts. Well, I want you to think about what the great physician did, though. I want you to think about Jesus Christ, our great physician. He brought our hearts back to life. He took our broken life and He puts it back together. I don't know if you know much about Legos. Legos are pretty neat. They really are. You can go, I mean, I guess because they're so neat, they're pretty costly too. But you can go to your local Walmart or Toys R Us or whatever, and they've got whole Lego aisles. And they've got these huge scenes. And, I mean, some of them might be Star Wars. Some of them might be just Lego villages. Some of them may be superheroes. But when you get this deal, and if your kids are young enough, they don't put them together. Guess what, daddies and mamas? That means you put them together. But Lego is so good at laying out the instructions. Their instructions are really, really well done. And so you put this piece together, and you know, and you have this piece, and then you can you imagine if something comes along and it breaks it all? By the way, that's happened in my house. I've also glued those pieces, so they won't break. But that's years ago, right, son? But anyhow, the point of it is, put it back together, and guess what? Daddy, will you put it back together? Uh-uh. I'm not. I'm not going to ever put it back together. But that's not our Father. That's the earthly Father, me. But our Heavenly Father, time and time again, our lives have been put back together and they've then been broken again. But He's willing to piece by piece build it back until it's beautiful again. So we've got to be willing. Our Lord is very qualified to heal and fix our broken hearts and our broken lives. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. I don't know if it really sinks in with you when you read that psalm, but it does to me. The one who names every star. He made every star. He named every star and He knows them by name. That very one is the one that cares enough to put our lives back together. You might think because your life is broken that you're insignificant, that you don't really matter, that you're just a number on a census, that you're just a name in a neighborhood. You're just a number in our government, in our lives, in our world, but not to God. To God, we're very special. So much so that He allowed His Son to bleed His blood and suffer the agony of the cross. Here's another thing that comforts me about God, Christ, the healer of our broken hearts. Not only does He have the power to heal, does He have the power to put it back together, but He knows what it's like to suffer from a broken heart. You see, we can relate to Jesus, not in the perfection, but in the hurt and the pain and the struggles. Jesus wept, yes, in John 11, verse 35, but He also wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones, those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Jesus also, I believe, was brokenhearted when Judas betrayed Him. You remember He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He asked that question, Judas, will you betray me with a kiss? Can you imagine how that hurt Him? Even though He knew and understood, He understood what it was like to be betrayed by friends. What about in Gethsemane itself? When He didn't want to suffer, He didn't want to hurt, He didn't want to go through that. God, please let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. What about on the cross? Do you realize on the cross, some have said, people a lot smarter than me, that because of the anxiety in the garden, and then because of the lack of sleep and the lack of food and the lack of nutrients and the loss of blood at the scourging, and then for the lack of oxygen, that Jesus' heart was trying to pump so much blood with that kind of loss, with that kind of anxiousness, with that kind of suffering to even breathe, His heart literally could have exploded. If that be the case, then we could say that Jesus could literally have died of a broken heart. Yes, there was physical, but there was also the emotional. As those came by and they said, come down from the cross. You build a temple and destroy it in 3 days. Save yourself. And they mocked Him and they made fun of Him. Can you imagine the hurt that caused? I want to remind us today that Jesus, not only can He heal a broken heart, He knows what it's like to struggle with a broken heart. So today, as you get ready to come to know a Savior, perhaps there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know God. Today that can change, and your lives can be healed, and you can obey Him. That blood that was shed at Calvary, that His heart pumped out so much, can be contacted today through the waters of baptism. Jesus Christ's heart was broken because of sin, perhaps. Today His heart still breaks over sin. If you've got family problems, His heart's still breaking today because of that. His heart breaks today. If your faith is weak, His heart is broken over that. Jesus, I believe, His heart breaks over empty pews. But His heart breaks when His children are hurting. Today, right now, I want you to think about where you are. Are you hiding? Are you struggling? Why not bring Him your broken life? Or if you're here today and your life is whole, let's take that message to the world. In just a moment, Steve's going to lead us. And as he leads us in that song, don't leave your lives broken. Allow the one who can put the pieces back together to do that. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.